franchise players and guys that just kind of move the meter.
Mm-hmm.
What a segue into our next guest. A franchise player for sure, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave joins us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street, right across from the hospital here in Elyria. Make sure you visit VandermarkJewelers.com. That's VandermarkJewelers.com. Maybe you've got some extra time to take a look around the house. You're cleaning things up. Perhaps you've come across some things that you don't necessarily want anymore. Well, they could end up in that wonderful estate case that Jim Vandermark has as well. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Does being a franchise player, does having that designation protect me from ever going away, Bull? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You don't lose franchise players. Franchise players typically find ways to lose you, so we don't want you to lose us either. We kind of like what we have going on here. But, Dave, we always enjoy having you on because there's always a myriad of different topics to get into. And I want to begin with an interesting article that you wrote a few days ago. And you detailed the county budget, which, oddly enough, in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, still has a pretty promising outlook, but despite that, there are still some layoffs. What are the details on all of this?
Yeah, so kind of an interesting situation. A lot of the elected officials that we've been speaking with have said that, you know, the ones who are going to suffer in this from the economic downturn that's going to be related to the COVID-19 pandemic are the cities, because cities rely on income tax primarily to fill their coffers to make up their budgets. Now the county's in a little bit of a different place right now, because a lot of what they rely on, a lot of what, you know, county agencies and you know what they rely on is property taxes, and property taxes don't really go anywhere. That you can pay less on your property taxes if your property values decrease, or you can pay more if your property values increase. But Auditor Craig Snodgrass and I had a good long discussion the other day, basically about how, you know, they've had pretty good collections the first half of the year, and he said that's pretty typical. His report to the County Budget Commission, about the middle of this past month, was about $66 million in revenue from various sources. You know, there's property taxes and fees and interest on fees and also interest on all sorts of different investments that the county has and sales tax. So sales tax makes up a good chunk of estimated revenue. And the county got about almost $31 million in sales tax revenue in 2019. That estimate is staying pretty steady, and actually probably would have increased had this pandemic not come around. So Snodgrass is feeling pretty good about the carryover in the budget and the county budget from last year. The county had $12 million at the end of last year that they carried into this year. So they have some spending money, available. They have sort of a built-in rainy day, fund there. Again, sales tax revenues are ahead of what was projected, probably up about close to 8%. What the county is going to see a little bit less of is income that is shared amongst the counties from casino revenue. So casino revenue, the projection on that was reduced by about half, figuring that casinos will be closed, were closed for like a week in March and will be closed probably the whole month of April, maybe on down the line, depending on, the governor's decisions on reopening the state. So more sales tax revenue was scheduled to be released this week. I'll follow up with Mr. Snodgrass, this week to find out more about what he knows. Again, interest investments, were up a little bit. So that revenue is pretty steady. And then fees, some of these county offices, despite being closed, are still staying very busy. The recorder's office staying very busy. There are still houses being sold and bought and sold and, So there's fees that the county gets on things like that, and they're doing a lot of title work.
Wow. I mean, that's at least a little bit surprising to me, because this doesn't necessarily seem like the time to go out and buy a house. So it's at least a little surprising, isn't it, to hear that so many homes are being bought and sold?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things that that apparently, you know, at this point, you know, if people were in process or if they were looking to move or upsize or downsize, you know, people are still moving around, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, maybe coming in for new jobs. You know, maybe some of those new jobs that they're creating at Ford, people said, hey, I want to go, you know, I'm going to go work, you know, work at the Ford plant up there, you know, up there close to the lake. And, you know, there are still people who are buying and selling homes. I mean, I guess that doesn't quite stop. You know, we're not at the point where we need to panic about another housing bust.
Well, I want to transition into something entirely different. Now, you got into an article a few days back talking about how the city of Lorain, after many, many of the citizens of Lorain were underpaying for the use of its sewers over the last 7 years, residents of Sheffield Township and Elyria Township also doing that, they can expect to see their bills for the service increase in the coming months and for the next 25 years as well. So what exactly is going on here with the sewer system, and what's causing the uptick over the next quarter of a century?
Yeah, so as originally reported, you know, in February by the Chronicle-Telegram, there's been some underpayment, especially residents of Sheffield Township and Elyria Township who have Lorain City sewer service, who were paying the city of Lorain through the city of Elyria. Now, this, you might want to get out your flow chart.
Oh boy.
on this one, because the city of Elyria was collecting the money on behalf of the city of Lorain, and the county had kind of also jumped into this and said, hey, you know, people in these townships, which we govern, you know, on down through the trustees, you know, are paying the city of Lorain to use the sewers. And over the past couple decades, basically, while there was a rate, there was going rate of $6.38 per cubic foot of sanitary sewer, you know, that you use, and residents of the city of Lorain were paying that, Elyria and Sheffield Township residents, who are also using city of Lorain sewers, were paying a sixth of that. They were paying like $1.09 per cubic foot, and that was far less than their counterparts, you know, just, you know, a couple blocks away, you know, or a mile away, again up to the lake. So basically, a resolution was reached between the county and the city of Lorain where these rates are going to go up, rising above 100% of what city rates were. So an extra, you know, 105% on top of the $6.38 that Lorain residents were paying, to make up the difference that Sheffield and Elyria Township residents have owed the city of Lorain for using their services, oh, you know, basically since the mid-1970s. So unfortunately, you know, sewer bills are going to increase for many of those folks through 2045 to make up all of the money that they didn't pay in the past. It's very convoluted, and I wrote about it on April 16th. So there is a story that is, you know, that is on our website at chronicleT.com, which relates a little bit more of the details. The county was actually rather pleased with the resolution that they came to and that Lorain City Council approved. It took a very long time to get this resolved. But it finally did get resolved after it was recognized some years ago that this has been an issue for a long time. So I encourage you to go back and take a look at that story. Anybody out there in Radio Land that wants to take a look at it, but that's basically it. That there were people who were using a service that were underpaying for it for many years.
Yeah, crazy stuff there. Definitely, I'll have to email you my spiderweb looking graph over here to see if I kept up with the details. I think I did okay. Shifting gears again here, though, you know, Dave, a lot of people still in need of different services, and that is certainly true in the world of child services. And Lorain County Children's Services caseworkers, you know, they're still out there protecting vulnerable kids from abuse and neglect amidst this COVID-19 pandemic. How are they able to continue doing that? And, you know, how's that been going for them so far?
And and thanks, Rocco. I'll look forward to your graph when it gets over to me. But in this particular instance, this is another situation where basically technology, you know, swoops in, you know, to help and help save the day, help protect the most vulnerable, you know, children who are out there in the community. And there's 70 caseworkers working for Lorain County Children's Services who are basically able to work remotely using laptop computers, you know, cell phones and the like. And this was even before the pandemic happened, where a lot of them were able to be mobile and go out and do family visits and do, and do investigations to make sure that the children were being neglected or abused. I spoke with Kristen Fox-Berkey, who's the executive director of Lorain County Children's Services, back earlier this month. And she said that, basically, up to 90% of her staff is able to work remotely. She doesn't have anybody on furlough or unpaid leave, which is good. And, they're also established, they're using established social distancing guidelines for when they do have to sit in a room with somebody or go visit a family. They're still responding to calls, but even though their volume of their calls has declined, and it's declined, starting in March. In the first week of March, the agency got 134, kind of mid-hundreds, calls. And that had fallen by about two-thirds by the last week of March. So they were really concerned about that, about the dip in all of that. And we had a discussion about how oftentimes children who might be in danger, again, neglected or abused, are not seeing people that they might otherwise disclose that to. That includes their friends. That includes, workers, administrators, teachers at school. Because so many students have not been in school, they don't have that ability to go up to a trusted teacher, a trusted administrator, a school counselor, a lunch lady, a food worker, or anybody, and say, hey, there's some really dangerous stuff going on at home. I'm really scared. And a lot of times I know the police often rely on those reports as well. I've written about numerous stories about child abuse that have resulted from children talking about it at school. And then the police become involved and Children's Services gets called. And it kind of works itself out in the courts and through the system that we have in place. If you do know or you suspect that there's child abuse or neglect, obviously if there's an emergency, call 911. You can also call 440-329-5340 anytime, during the day and get Children's Services. After hours, the number changes to 440-406-5121. Or if you're outside Lorain County, you can always call 800-4-A-CHILD, the number 4 and A-C-H-I-L-D. And you can report suspected neglect or abuse, and, Children's Services and the authorities will take care of it.
Good deal. Well, Dave, we've come to that point in the interview where we get a chance to scan and see what's happening in the scanner world. So what do you have for us this week as far as the scanner stories are concerned?
Well, this isn't maybe a real strange one, but these are the kinds of things that the dispatchers and emergency services deal with, and sometimes where there's not a crime involved, but it is a situation that somebody thinks is threatening. And the dateline on this one is Lakewood. Caller reports a male in a Punisher sweatshirt open carrying a gun who did not make any threatening moves or gestures. Dispatch advised the caller that Ohio is an open carry state. The caller did not care and insisted that police investigate.
Oh, boy. Well, there are a couple of different ways I suppose we could go with that. I was trying to think of a good pun, but I couldn't come up with one. See, you picked up on that right away. Well done, sir. Well done. You knew exactly where I was going with that. Dave, we always enjoy the time. We always enjoy the insight, and we look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Sounds good, Bull. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Make sure you visit them online at vandermarkjewelers.com. That's vandermarkjewelers.com. As we mentioned earlier, maybe you found some real gems when you were cleaning out the house, and maybe you don't want to hang on to them. Well, not only do they sell jewelry, they buy it as well. And there are some real nice pieces in that estate case. Maybe you've got something that could end up in that estate case as well. Again, visit them at vandermarkjewelers.com.
You know, I live in Lakewood right now, Bull. I did not see the real life Frank Castle.